Well, it's time to open up our Bibles. We've got Beth Seifert standing by with today's Bible study in 1 Samuel.
Thanks, Amy. Today, we're going to continue reading in 1 Samuel chapter 2, and today we're going to see what God has to say about Eli's parenting. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 27 through 36. Now, a man of God came to Eli and said to him, "This is what the Lord says. Did I not clearly reveal myself to your father's house when they were in Egypt under Pharaoh? I chose your father out of all the other tribes of Israel to be my priest, to go up to my altar, to burn incense, and to wear an ephod in my presence. I also gave your father's house all the offerings made with fire by the Israelites. Why do you scorn my sacrifice and offering that I prescribed for my dwelling? Why do you honor your sons more than me by fattening yourselves on the choice parts of every offering made by my people Israel? Therefore, the Lord, the God of Israel, declares, I promised that your house and your father's house would minister before me forever. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me. Those who honor me I will honor, but those who despise me will be disdained. The time is coming when I will cut short your strength and the strength of your father's house, so that there will not be an old man in your family line, and you will see distress in my dwelling. Although good will be done to Israel, in your family line there will never be an old man. Every one of you that I do not cut off from my altar will be spared, only to blind your eyes with tears and to grieve your heart, and all your descendants will die in the prime of life. And what happens to your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, will be a sign to you. They will both die on the same day. I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who will do according to what is in my heart and mind. I will firmly establish his house, and he will minister before my anointed one always. Then everyone left in your family line will come and bow down before him for a piece of silver and a crust of bread and plead, appoint me to some priestly office so that I can have food to eat." Well, here it is. God sends a prophet to Eli, and God lets Eli know how much he has been disappointed by Eli and his sons. Not only disappointed, but dishonored. Eli is reminded that he and his family were chosen by God and given a great responsibility along with the honor of being God's priests. Yet Eli, by his inaction, is honoring his sons more than he is honoring God. Did you catch that? Eli's refusal to act was an action. Eli has allowed the desecration to go on in the temple. He has allowed his sons to profane the sacrifices of the people. By standing there and not acting to stop it and to stand up for God, he made a choice, and he is just as culpable as his sons are. God is cutting Eli and his house off from the line of the priests now. This, by the way, does not nullify God's promise to Aaron's house. Eli is not the only descendant of Aaron, and it is only Eli's house that is being pulled out of being part of the priestly covenant. What God says in verse 30 makes it very clear. If Eli and his sons won't honor God, they will not be in a position of honor from God. Period. How much sense would it make for God to allow this to continue in his temple? None. Spiritual privileges are just that, privileges. They are not irrevocable rights, and when they are abused, well, you can expect consequences. And what a dreadful legacy for Eli's family. All their men will die young. How tragic. Having a son in this family just became horridly bittersweet. It's great to have a son, especially in this culture, but cherish him while you have him because sons are in danger in this family. Indeed, we will see here in 1 Samuel the death of Eli and his sons, and later a massacre of his descendants by Saul. And in 1 Kings, there's the removal of another of his descendants from priestly office, thus fulfilling verse 33, "Anyone not cut off from the altar will grieve your heart and blind your eyes with tears." God can keep track of the descendants and make sure that his judgment is fulfilled. God does also raise up for himself a new priest, but it isn't Samuel as you might think. Samuel works with God in more of a prophetic role, not a priestly one. And while God definitely is with Samuel and blesses him, God makes the perfect choice for the priestly role around the time that David becomes king. Now, this is probably showing my inner geek, but do you see that Spider-Man was right? With great power comes great responsibility. Eli didn't discipline his children when he had the chance. Their hearts became hardened. As a result, Eli's whole line would have grief in the early loss of their sons. Think about that. How many times have we heard or said, "I'll just wait and see what happens"? Eli waited. He didn't act. And guess what? He had made a choice and was acting by not acting. Yep, not picking sides is picking sides. Whoever is not for God is against him. Period. Now let me be clear, this is not all Eli's fault. His sons are adults and they have a choice to make here too. They continue to choose to go on sinning. However, God didn't come to Eli's sons to chasten them. He came to Eli. He went to Eli to let him know the consequences of his son's action and his own actions. If Eli had fought for God against his sons, if he had done everything he could to forcibly remove his sons from their roles as priest, if he had offered more than a half-hearted rebuke when confronted with the evil his sons were doing, God may have dealt differently with Eli. But Eli showed that he was less concerned with the consequences of the sins of his sons than he was with keeping the peace. So he didn't rock the boat. But the boat was rocked nonetheless. Ladies, there are times when we are called to stand up instead of waiting to see what happens. It may be as simple as not letting your child take a toy out of another child's hand today, or it may be holding someone accountable to God's law and encouraging them to turn away from sin. Notice I didn't say yell and scream at them that they are wrong and that they're going to hell. We all sin. Every last one of us. We aren't supposed to nitpick on others and think ourselves better than they are, but we are to hold each other accountable. And today may be your day to hold someone else accountable. Tomorrow it might be your day to have God send someone to gently remind you where you need to be held accountable. Sitting back and not doing anything, however, is a choice we make far too often. When it is your turn to do the reminding, ask God for His word. If He is placing the need on your heart, He will also give you the words to use and the humility to speak them in love. Pray hard before you speak and give it all up to God. There will be times when God asks us to be silent. But folks, we act as though silence is the default instead of gentle correction. Ask God for His leading to discern the difference. He will help you. He will be faithful and give you the courage to act too. Trust me, I've been in this situation. It's scary. It's nerve-wracking. But I don't walk away from situations where I've given them up to God the same way that I walk away from situations where my own agenda was at play. When I have spent the time in prayer, when I am praying as I am speaking those words to that person to remind them of what God has called them to, I am at peace. I have been in those situations before, and let me tell you, when God is the one who's in control, you walk away without questioning what you said. You walk away and not thinking, maybe I should have said that differently, or I wonder if they understood what I was trying to say. You walk away knowing that God was in control and that everything is up to Him. I pray that when it is my turn to be rebuked, because we all are going to get that turn, that I'm able to accept it with grace. So many of us fear confrontation. I think we fear it because we do not fear the Lord enough, and we fear man too much. Sometimes the people we fear are our own children. Now, mine are still very young, but I admit freely that there are times when I know that I need to correct them, but I hesitate, and sometimes I don't do it because I know they're going to get angry with me. And truly, sometimes I don't want to deal with it. However, not dealing with their anger today means dealing with their disrespect and their anger tomorrow. So even when it is hard, I try to do what He would have me do. What about you? Are you a people pleaser? Would you rather try to satisfy the demands and requirements of everyone else around you than confront someone on their sin? Guess what? God can work in your life and in your heart to change that. He can work to make you bold. Not in a brash way, but in a way that brings glory to Him while spreading His truth. So, my question today is there a situation that you know you need to address, a conflict that you've been avoiding? Talk to him about it. Dig into his word and then obey him. Trust me, the results will be far better when you obey and do it his way than when you do it your own way.
Well, thank you, Beth. And Beth's study guides, as well as the 10-minute podcasts of these presentations, are all available in our archives under the Bible Studies tab of our website, naomistable.com. Nancy and I will be back with more on this in just a moment.